hour of fun and free advice to make that garden and that lawn look great. The Green Country Gardener Program is brought to you by Green Thumb Nurseries and Greenhouses, Peter's True Value Hardware, Kelly Banks Tree Service, and United Rentals.
And good morning, good morning, good morning. It's time for the Green Country. Yeah, I got to tell you what, from Green Thumb Nursery, we got Larry Glass here. He is our expert, as always. How you doing there, young man?
Hey, not bad. Not bad for a 170-pound excavator. Man, digging. We've been more digging this week.
Can you dig it, baby?
Trying to catch up to this with this great weather. You guys are doing a great job on the weather.
We get lucky sometimes.
My compliments to the chef of the weather, I guess, whatever.
Big guy. That would be big.
And it looks just as good this coming week. So
it does.
Good. We're gnawing away at our schedule rather quickly. So thank goodness. Jeez. Anyway, great time to plant trees and shrubs.
Always is, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, yes. Yeah, especially right now with this weather we're having. It's really good.
Great.
And they're kind of dormant. They really don't know what's going on when you plant. They just wake up and, whoa, what happened?
Hey.
So anyway, it's a good time to consider planting trees and shrubs. Be sure to add a lot of compost to the soil and dig a big old hole when you plant your trees.
There you go.
And try not to overwater them, really. Most people lose their newly planted trees and shrubs due to overwatering. Yes, so be careful about that.
Uh-huh.
And we kind of advise people, especially in our heavy soil, to back off somewhat on the water when you are watering your plants, just so you don't overwater them and cause a fungal situation.
Oh, yeah. We don't want to get fungi with it.
Okay. Anyway, still time to fescue that grass, probably for the fertilize that fescue grass.
Easy for you to say.
Exactly. Fertilize that fescue grass probably for the last time at this point. I imagine a zinger's on the horizon, so we want to be sure that the plants are ready for that and try not to do too much of it, but go ahead and fertilize. A lot of people are wanting me to recharge their sprinkler systems, too, to water their things.
Yep.
It's been a little bit dry lately.
Yeah.
So as far as the Bermuda grass is concerned, and the Zoysia grass, don't waste your money because they're dormant right now.
They're taking a nap.
Survive okay, just fine. But your trees and shrubs, you have more value, more dollar per square foot on your trees and shrubs. You want to make sure that they're adequately watered.
Yep.
And in all the digging we've been doing, the moisture level is really good down deep. So if your stuff is established pretty well, wouldn't worry about it too much.
Yeah.
Because there's plenty of moisture down there in the ground. I know it's seeping out of a lot of people's yards too.
Wow.
So anyway, so everything's in pretty good shape right now. So you might want to continue to mow that fescue as needed, about 2 to 2.5 inches tall. And keep the leaves off of it, too, of your fescue lawn, just so it doesn't get shaded out. It can cause some issues with your fescue grass.
Sure.
Dead spots.
Got a question for you here.
So
I kind of slept in on Thanksgiving, you know, after the after the meal.
Yeah.
I forgot to trim back my roses. Do I need to wait till the St. Valentine's Day Massacre?
No. In fact, I can tell by the scars. I trimmed some roses yesterday.
Oh, okay, so I'm good.
So, still.
Okay.
I came out of my turkey coma and...
my trip to find nap.
Did some roses. And they've got thorns. Ow.
Yes, they do.
Yeah, so be careful about that, too. Yeah. These were knockout roses, and they were about
chest high.
Yeah, about chest high, and we cut them down to about knee high.
Good.
So, and all the big older branches, they get somewhat corky over time. We took those out.
Mm-hmm.
To keep them young and vibrant.
Ooh.
So anyway, so it's time to cut back your knockout roses. If you didn't do it in August, now's a good time to do it.
Sounds like we were selling steak there for a while.
Okay. Also, be sure to drain the lawnmower fuel tank or let it run dry. And then,
you know, some folks did that a month ago, and they realized they had to mow one more time.
I know. I kept mine going. Like I said, I ninja'd the leaves in the front yard.
Oh, yeah, you got to do that.
And a big old thing just ran right through them. And you remember the word smithereens.
Yes.
That's what happened to the leaves.
Oh, my.
So they'll go back into the soil. It's maple leaves.
Sure.
So, and some oaks. I don't have any oaks in the front yard. My neighbors all have oaks around me.
All right.
So anyway, maybe it'll lower the pH a little bit. because basically I live on a big pile of baking soda at my house. So perhaps it'll raise or lower that pH just a little bit.
You know, for a guy who's soil challenged, you do pretty good out there, I'm saying.
I guess so, yeah. I cleared out all the old annuals last weekend.
Yep.
Dug up the old begonias and some other things and ground them up and put them back on the beds and worked them into the soil a little bit. So I've got some irrigation updates I need to do on my drip system. It's 10 years old.
It
needs a little help. So I get to get all the leaks out of it. So that's got to be fixed today in the yard also.
You got a
caller? All right, put them on.
Hi, good morning. Welcome. You're on Green Country Gardener with Larry. You got a question or a comment? All right.
Well, I didn't have a comment. I was wondering about that. I didn't know if we had that. I was trying to get around to find out about that cleanup week for the city.
Oh, it's this coming week.
Individuals.
Yeah, it's coming up this week. For the leaves and grass clippings and the branches. You got to cut the branches. I think it's 4 feet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you got to
bundle them up really nice and neat. Put them out there by your trash can. You can put your leaves and grass clippings in any kind of plastic bag this time around. But just make sure it's near there and don't get too excited if the trash guys come and they pick up your poly cart and they leave that behind. They got another crew that kind of comes behind them and they pick up the other stuff. So that's this week. And that'll be on your regular trash day.
Okay. I guess she got her information.
So. All right, good.
Very good.
Good.
Yeah, also be conscious of your hoses on the faucet, too.
You betcha.
It's not really going to get cold this coming week. Not cold enough to really do too much damage. Mm-hmm. So if you need to water your plants, just be aware of the what's happening with the temperature.
Yeah.
Just if it gets down in the middle 20s, you're going to have some issues.
Oh, boy, are you.
Usually our nighttime temperatures spike, or negative spike, if you will.
Yeah.
Looks like you need more toner.
Yeah, we do.
But anyway, and then he's got the forecast here.
We've got a couple of cold nights coming up. Looks like we're going to hit down to 32 on Sunday night, and then on Tuesday night down to 28. Wednesday night, 34, and then we're back around 39, 40 degrees for the overnight.
Yeah, so that's not too bad.
Yeah, it's not too bad.
Okay, cool. So shouldn't be much of an issue if you forget to remove that. So.
No.
But you want to – it's a good practice, too, this time of year anyway, because how soon we forget.
How soon.
And how variable our weather conditions can be. So.
Are you kidding?
No, never. No. A forecast, oh, forget it.
Just remember, it was 78 degrees on December 2nd this year.
Yes.
That makes me just cringe thinking about what February might bring.
I remember when my daughter was born, back in 82.
Yeah.
Mom made a little knitted cap for her and the little mittens and things to take home, to bring the child home.
Uh-huh.
And it was about 78, 80 degrees.
Here in December.
That's a mom will still use it.
Yeah, don't worry.
That's okay.
Plenty of winter left. It's Oklahoma.
Okay. So it's also this time of year, the animals are looking for stuff to munch on some plants and things.
They are hungry.
It's a good idea to maybe wrap your young thin bark trees, like your Japanese maples and things. Because once one animal takes a bite out of that, they tell their friends.
It seems like it anyway.
And then your $300 Japanese maple is kindling wood.
Oh, yeah.
So you want to
make toothpicks out of it.
So
anymore.
You can be proactive and do some wrapping around the tree trunk. It could be anything. We have some synthetic tree wrap at the nursery. It's this white-colored stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Which, why couldn't they make it brown? Why'd they make it white?
I don't know.
But nonetheless, it does a very good job of deterring the animals from chewing on your Japanese maples and things that can get eaten up. So you might want to consider doing that, too. And also dormant oil for scale on euonymus. I was at a house yesterday, and they actually had scale on their knockout roses, too, which is odd. So we recommended we apply some dormant oil to that to help deter them a little bit. Then perhaps some imidacloprid later on in the spring.
There you go.
So anyway, so be aware and look at your plants, and just have to look for these things on your plants and know how to react get on the phone and ask us.
Get on the phone, call Larry.
Sorry.
I'm reacting to something I'm seeing on my plants,
There's
Larry.
Something on my plant. What do we do about it?
Well, what is the something? I don't know.
Well, usually with just a few questions, we can kind of pinpoint,
kind
of pinpoint what it is. So,
rather finite.
Right. Okay. So anyway, that's kind of what to do with your plants right now. As far as lawns is concerned, sod can be installed anytime.
Uh-huh.
If you want to do some sod work or something, there's no problem with that. It can be done any time of the year.
Good.
As long as you integrate it into the soil, don't just roll it out onto the ground.
Yeah.
You have to soak it real good and use a roller.
Yeah.
And roll it and integrate the roots into the soil.
There you go.
Because it'll get real windy and it'll just roll itself back up and wind up in Oglesby. So, so you'll want to go ahead and make sure it's very well anchored into the soil.
There we go.
And to do that, you do a loose till of the soil. You don't want to go too deeply with it because it's difficult to make it level, but do a tilling of the soil, at least a surface preparation, so the root system of the plant, or the sod rather, can get integrated into the soil.
All right. You want to take a call?
Sure, go ahead.
Do it. Hi, good morning. Welcome to the Green Country Gardener. You're on the air.
Hi. I have a really old rose bush that's still producing, and that it looks horrible, and I'm wondering when it would be a good time to prune that.
Essentially, all winter long would be good, starting around Thanksgiving.
Okay.
So,
all right, and maybe about 6 inches from the ground, or a little taller than that.
Is it a hybrid tea rose of some kind? What, you know what the variety is?
I have no idea. It's really a real small rose.
Okay.
Not anything new, you know, because it's been there since I was a child. So
okay, it's probably a true to form root to top, and I have one at my house called the fairy rose, and it's pink. It's blooming right now, actually.
Yes.
And that rose has been through it. It's been moved about 5 times, and they're pretty. And I cut it back any time, really. But okay. If you want to do a heavy pruning, I'd go ahead and do it in this time of year in the winter.
How high?
If it's a floribunda rose, you can go down really low, and it comes back really nice and fresh.
So about 6
does, does it have a lot of little flowers or just a few big flowers on it?
Yeah. Okay. All right. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for calling.
Sweet.
Yeah. So if a rose has been around that long, chances are it is true to form from top to bottom, which is the knockout. And the white, there's a rose called white out. Which is a white color knockout rose, yeah. And they come in a pink and a yellow color, too. But anyway, those are a floribunda type rose, and they're true from top to bottom. They're not grafted.
Oh, I see.
So they will come back. And we've told people before, boy, this thing's ugly. Just cut it down. And it comes back pretty nice, really.
They always do?
Oh, yeah, sure they will.
They're pretty durable. Mm-hmm. Tell you what, we're going to have to take a break, and we're going to take this four-minute timeout. It's a four-minute timeout right here.
Who do I call to get my trees trimmed?
Kelly Banks Tree Service.
Who can grind up these stumps in my yard?
Kelly Banks Tree Service.
There's a dead tree right by my house, and I'm nervous it might fall.
Well, you better call Kelly Banks Tree Service.
What's that number?
It's 918-335-7000. It's 918-335-7000.
Call them today for your tree trimming, stump grinding, and tree removal needs.
That's 918-335-7000. 918-335-7000.
The Family Christmas Album is being brought to you by Bartnett IP.
When you think of internet service, you don't want to hear all the mumbo jumbo. You just want your internet to work and fast and when you need it. That's where Bartnett IP internet service comes in. They don't try to tell you how the internet works. They just want to keep it working. And that's what's important. An internet service provider that cares about the bottom line. A working, fast, reliable internet service that keeps the bottom line going. Bartnett IP, your internet service provider in Bartlesville. 918-333-2208.
I'll always remember that Christmas Eve when we got lost on the way to Grandma's and Grandpa's, and the car got stuck in a snowbank.
Come on, baby, come on. Well, she won't start. Looks like we're stuck in the snowbank.
What are we gonna do now?
Wait for another car to come along, I guess.
But we haven't even seen any other cars for the past hour. We're lost in the mountains.
Yeah, and it's getting dark.
Now, everybody just calm down and take it easy. There's nothing to be...
What? There's nothing to be what?
Shh. Listen.
I don't hear anything.
Sounds like bells.
Well, look at that.
I don't believe it.
What?
What?
It's
a one-horse open sleigh.
When you're in trouble, help sometimes comes in a form you don't expect.
Oh, Bobtail. Well, now, looks like some poor little lambs have lost their way.
To be continued from Focus on the Family.
The Family Christmas Album has been brought to you by Bartnett IP.
Hungry, head to Egbert's for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And for you breakfast lovers, they serve breakfast all day long. Egbert's has 5 locations in the area: Bartlesville, Claremore, Caney, Coffeyville, and Independence. Hungry? Stop in at Egbert's for dine-in, carry-out, and even order your meal online. Egbert's hours are Sunday through Thursday, 6 a.m. to 10 p.m., Friday and Saturday, 6 a.m. to midnight. That's Egbert's Restaurant.
Yeah. Here we go. Welcome back. Larry Glass with us. I'm Tom Davis. And boy, you know, when we talk about all different kinds of plants, you got any grapevines? How do they do in the winter?
We have had some grapevines. And they, there's not much to look at in the wintertime.
No, there's not.
No, you can make wreaths.
You can hear everything through the grapevine.
Yeah, a lot of people cut them back and make wreaths out of them, too. So.
It's the Green Country. It's the Green Country Gardener Program, and your phone line is 1-800-749-5936. So you had some, right?
We don't. We don't have any now, but we do carry them on occasion.
Yeah,
now,
so. Okay. So. Yeah. Folks want to make their own wine.
So, anyway, it comes to landscaping, it's time to do a plan. Yep. Wintertime's a good time to get a plan together. I'm busier than a dog right now, and it takes a little while to get them out, but I usually do that at night. After working all day. So anyway, so we can get a landscape plan ready for you. So when the springtime comes,
it's done.
So anyway, trees, you can time to plant any trees at all. It's a great time right now. In the wintertime, the ground is still relatively warm. So great time. Mm-hmm. We've got a good selection of maples and some oaks and things to plant right now. It's a good time to plant those too. Mm-hmm. And that leads us to the tree of the week, which is the dogwood. Cornus florida.
Okay.
There's a Cornus calza too, but and Cornus moss and Cornus this and that. But the one people typically associate with the dogwood is the Cornus florida.
Okay.
And it has typically 4 petals on it, and the tips of the petals are kind of brownish, reddish in color. And it's become kind of symbolic with Easter because of that.
Okay.
And it's it can be fairly easy to grow, but it does like an area that's pretty well drained. So, in other words, not at the bottom of the hill, but perhaps at the top of the hill. Mm-hmm. And it does very well associated with other species of trees, specifically oaks, mm-hmm. your upland oaks. I say upland, that's most every oak except pin oak and willow oak, so because of the depth of the root system.
Yeah.
And about 20 feet away from another tree also. A little bit of shielding from the midday to hot afternoon sun, say from 11 o'clock to 2 o'clock. A bit of shielding during the day, it'll do just fine. Mm-hmm. There are some actually in town that are growing out in just a wide open, doing just great. And that's highly dependent on the drainage and the type of soil in which they're planted and the time of year when they're planted too. Mm-hmm. It's a big factor in how well one will do in the open sun. So we don't always recommend planting them in the open sun.
No.
Because it's a bit more of a challenge to get them to grow. Mm-hmm. So anyway, these that are in the open sun are for the most part neglected.
Oh my.
Pretty well. So I tell people don't really pay too much attention to them when, you know, after the initial introduction into the soil and mm-hmm. so the watering occasionally just to keep them fairly moist but not really wet, and they should do okay. Now dogwoods will do very well in a well-drained situation, and these that are in the full sun that I've come across are indeed in a well-drained situation, so they don't like wet feet. When I moved into my house, somebody planted one 2 feet from the house in the front. That's way too close.
Oh, yeah.
So I moved it to the backyard. and it was just a little type. Now it's two stories tall.
Oh, wow.
And basically I said, you're on your own.
Yeah. And he said, see how you like me now.
Yeah. So, and it's done very well, actually.
Yeah.
The only problem is it's so close. It is still kind of close to the house. It's 10 feet away from the house. I have to get on the roof to see the flowers.
Oh. You do a lot of climbing around there.
Yeah,
you?
I guess so. But anyway, so it's done quite well without a lot of care. And there are some great examples of dogwoods here in this town. And typically they are associated with soil that has a very good rate of percolation. In other words, the water doesn't seem to sit very long after it rained. And then they do quite well. They the root system is physiologically suited for a well-drained, slopey type soil. That's where they occur naturally. When I was a kid growing up in North Carolina, they grew wild in the woods in the spring. Yeah. They were just everywhere in the woods and beautiful in the spring.
Wow.
And you never did see them on the creek banks. They were always up in kind of the high areas. And we would love walking through the woods and seeing the dogwoods and stuff. So anyway, so they are well suited for that kind of a situation. Now, initially planting them though, you do want to prepare a very large hole for these. And not a cylindrical hole, but one that is somewhat bowl shaped. That's so the aeration of the soil can occur more efficiently in the plant. And also I like to make them just a little bit higher than the surrounding soil too. Just so you will get some pretty good aeration and drainage on them. So.
Good.
One thing, if your dogwood tree is not blooming, you kind of hit it with a garden hose a few times. Not too hard. Just give it a little bit of a nudge here.
Give it some love, but don't beat it.
No, just a little bit. And typically it will bloom. You do that in the spring. Before it has a chance to set blossoms. Yeah. And typically it may sound kind of bizarre, but I've done it to a few people's trees, unbeknownst to them. Here,
have a drink. Don't say nothing.
And then you hit it with the hose.
You hit it?
No, you physically, yeah.
Oh.
Strike it gently with a hose.
I see.
What it does is it causes some very slight, if any, bruising at all in the phloem tissues over there.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes the root system pour stuff up to the top.
Oh, so it draws.
So it draws up more nutrients to the top. And because of that, hey, this is great. Let's make some flowers, you know.
Yeah.
So around the middle of July, they start setting on blooms.
Larry the tree tapper.
So anyway, I guess so. So if your dogwood is doing really, really healthy and you have a really good long node on it, a node is the length on the stem between the layers, the leaves as they come out, or the branches. If you have a good long node on it, and it's just not blooming, perhaps it just needs a bit of a nudge, and it should go ahead and help it out. Too late for it right now, because they do initiate blooms in July.
Yeah.
It's when the bloom period starts. So you might give it a bit of a nudge, if you will, early in the spring.
Gotcha.
If there are not many blooms set on it, so it should do okay. So the dogwood, there are several colors available too. The pink dogwood is available. It's a really nice looking plant. And there's some red, more darker red colored ones. But the pink ones show up real good in the landscape, as well as the white ones. And I have found that the pink ones have a more susceptibility to necrosis. So it can get diseased more easily than the white dogwood. So make sure, if you do want a pink dogwood, make sure the conditions are absolutely proper for it. For it to really do well.
Got it.
Fertilizing, a light fertilizing in the spring and a light fertilizing in the fall. These trees are they're suited to kind of a poorish soil condition, so you don't want to overdo it. It really won't make them grow faster if you fertilize them too much, so it'll probably do more harm than good. Pests to look out for. You can get some sun scorch on a newly planted dogwood. Because a lot of times in the tree farms have grown in kind of a partially shaded situation. So you might get a bit of scorch. And borers are a problem with dogwoods. And root rot is bad in wet areas. And stem anthracnose, stem canker is pretty bad on them too. So they need a pretty well-ventilated, well-drained area for them to do well.
Got it. Let's take a little bit of a break, and we will be right back after this 3-minute timeout.
Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses is getting busy and getting ready for the holidays. You'll find new shipments of pansies and flowering kale. Get ready for the holidays with amaryllis bulbs and Christmas cactus that they have available. And check out their new shipments of trees and shrubs. Right now is a great time to sow fescue seed and apply pre-emergent for winter weeds. Come see what's new at Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on Nowata Road. Open Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5, noon to 5 Sunday.
Who do I call to get my trees trimmed?
Kelly Banks Tree Service.
Who can grind up these stumps in my yard?
Kelly Banks Tree Service.
There's a dead tree right by my house and I'm nervous it might fall.
Well, you better call Kelly Banks Tree Service.
What's that number?
It's 918-335-7000. It's 918-335-7000.
Call them today for your tree trimming, stump grinding, and tree removal needs.
That's 918-335-7000. 918-335-7000.
Hello, this is Tim from United Rentals. If you call United Rentals Strategic Sales Team, you may not get someone directly with Bartlesville, but you'll get someone from the Tulsa Metro. We all pull out the same inventory. The reason we do that is so that we can give each customer the amount of time that they need. We don't want to rush anyone, and that's why we have a Strategic Sales Team call center. We are local and customer focused. You can give us a call at United Rentals, 918-333-9580.
Shop Peter's True Value in Dewey for the bargains of the month. 6 Mega Roll Strong Tissue of Charmin Essentials is only $5.99. Get a 4-pack LED 6-watt or 10.5-watt Relax or Refresh HD LED bulbs for $10.99 each. Get a Stanley 2-pack 25 Fat Max Tape Measuring Set for only $19.99. And save on Tide 46-ounce liquid detergent for use in high-energy washing machines. Right now, $7.99. Shop these bargains and more, but only at Peter's True Value.
What's new at Mr. Clean Car Wash?
An unlimited wash club. Use the bronze package for an example. It's $19.99. You pay that one price and you can come in once a day, every day of the month for that one price of $19.99. Next price is $27.99, $34.99, and the top one is $39.99. The bronze one is just a basic wash. Second tier gets wax, and your third one gets wax and tire dressing. And the platinum, it's everything.
Mr. Clean, 2604 Southeast Washington Boulevard.
Don't forget the free vacuums.
Ah, tis the season for unwrapping.
Oh, such pretty wrapping paper. I wouldn't want to rip it.
Anytime.
Don't rush me.
We unwrap the news, weather, and sports for you every weekday morning beginning at 6. And we give it to you a little quicker than, well, you know.
And I can put this bow on my kitty cat.
Let us unwrap your information.
Baby.
Weekday mornings at 6.
Oh, where is she?
Right here on K1, the one you trust. There we go, indeed. And we are back with the Green Country Gardener program. And our phone lines are open at 1-800-749-5936. Larry Glass with us here. And you and I were talking about Christmas cactus.
Yeah. Lumbergera. Yeah. It is a small group, or a small genus of a cacti. It is actually considered a cactus.
Mm-hmm.
With 6 to 9 different species. And they are found in the coastal mountain areas of southeastern Brazil.
Oh.
Yeah, oh yeah. And these plants typically grow on trees or on rocks in habitats that are generally shady with a lot of high humidity. And they can be quite different in appearance from their desert-dwelling cousins, the barrel cactus.
Gotcha, yeah.
They are actually in the cactus genus. Species Schlumbergia.
Okay.
So anyway, they're somewhat epiphytic, if you will. So
I'll take your word for it.
but they can be planted in a very light type soil, lightweight soil, just to keep them sort of anchored, really. But they grow on stuff. Being epiphytic, they grow and they live on atmospheric humidity and dew and moisture and stuff. So anyway, they're very attractive. Easy to grow houseplants, mm-hmm. but like in the humidity, though, you might want to consider giving them a bit of a mist on occasion, because mm-hmm. they are a cactus, but they aren't a cactus.
I gotcha.
Yeah. They're clever that way.
Yeah, they don't know what they are. Anyway.
All I know is that they're popular.
They are popular, and they're highly adaptable. That's probably why they do very well in-house. Some people have had them for years. They can last years in the house. And I got a telephone call at the nursery yesterday about somebody's cactus. They've had it for years. And I said, well, and it's getting a little tired. So I said, perhaps it needs a bigger pair of shoes. In other words, a bigger pot, maybe.
Yes.
And they didn't really want to do that. And I said, what you need to do then is cut off some pieces of it and rip them. Let them callus over for a day or two.
Yeah.
And then use a rooting hormone, put them in, good quality BMW, BM1.
Yeah.
Potting soil, good lightweight potting soil. Not that heavy stuff.
No.
They sell outside at the stores, but the good quality stuff. Mm-hmm. And they should root after a while. And then once you get rooted clones from the original one, you can take it out of the pot and trim the roots back and then pot it back again in the same pot. So, anyway, they didn't want to lose the plant. They didn't want to take any chances at all of losing the plant. Yeah. So, you need to make copies of it then.
Yeah.
And that way, you'll have a backup in case something.
In case something really happens.
Like on your hard drive.
Yeah.
I do that occasionally at the nursery. I'll clone the hard drive just so we don't lose our data.
Yeah, it's a good thing to do.
Even though we back it up every day anyway. But you want to.
Yeah, you got to be careful. Yeah. About
something happens. Oh, well, here it is. Just pop it in and go with it. So. It comes in handy when you have if you get a virus or something like to have a copy of your hard drive, a good copy, then just plug it in and go.
You're ready.
So anyway, getting back to the plants, they bloom typically in response to environmental change. Mm-hmm. In other words, they like a lot of moisture. Being from southeastern Brazil, the climate doesn't, the length of day doesn't vary a whole lot. I wouldn't think. So their change is environmental primarily, and up here the change in light does tend to make it want to bloom and stuff too. But typically they bloom in response to the end of a drought.
We've been known to have a few.
What, here?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Well, they won't make it outside here.
No, they won't.
It gets too cold here, so that will make them bloom. And really, by nature, here on the northern hemisphere, they typically bloom around Thanksgiving. And the blossom time is delayed somewhat with some tricky maneuvering in the greenhouse to get them to bloom around Christmas. So typically, they're Thanksgiving cactus, really.
If
you let them on their own. Yeah. Bloom. So when I was a kid growing up, we had this great big RCA color television.
Oh, yeah.
Instant on.
Instant on.
Instant on. You remember those?
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, the vacuum tubes were on all the time. That's what it was. And then you turned it on, just whoosh,
wow. There you go.
You don't have to wait like 10 minutes for
it to warm up. It's warming up.
It's already warmed up. And we would take the Christmas cactus and set it on top of the television set. Mm-hmm. And it was warm. Mm-hmm. And it started blooming. It bloomed like crazy. So that was fun. So and then after Christmas, we put it back on the windowsill or
just somewhere.
Just fine. And then there's after Thanksgiving, we put it on the TV set.
Look at her go!
Look at her go! Nowadays, the televisions aren't big; they just fall off.
Yeah. Good strap.
They're not very warm either. No. So that would stimulate it to bloom. So this is stuff back even before I was a teenager when we did that kind of stuff. So it's kind of fun. So that's kind of the story with Christmas cactus. Uh-huh. Keep them pretty well fertilized. Also, like I said before, they do need a really lightweight soil. Uh-huh. And if you start to see precipitate forming on, say, the edge of the inside of the pot, it probably could be leached and repotted, perhaps. Uh-huh. So you want to keep that, be aware of that, because it is kind of sensitive to salt and things. So anyway, another plant that's coming in to popularity right now are poinsettias.
Gotcha.
Poinsettias are easy to care for, quote, houseplants, unquote, in their native country of Mexico.
Mexico.
In their native country, they become quite leggy and actually turn into trees, almost about 10 feet tall. They can get fairly good size in their native habitat. Yeah. Here, that height is controlled by our lack of frozen winters. They're not suited for that. And most of them grow them as a seasonal flowering plant during the holidays, because around late October, if you do have some that manage to survive the cold, they actually start to turn color as the day shortens. It responds to the Christmas cactus, responds to different levels of moisture, the poinsettia responds to different lengths of day for it to bloom. So around October, November, they start to, on their own, they start to change color. And they're usually in full bloom right about now in December. Seem to look good. So anyway, that's kind of how it works that way. There's several varieties of whites, pinks, marbles, colored, and all kinds of, they've had more fun breeding these things. But anyway, what we call the poinsettia blooms are not really blooms at all. They are what we call bracts, B-R-A-C-T-S.
Okay.
Petal-like foliage just below the blooms. The true flowers, called scythia, are in the center of that at this point. And they are inconspicuous, and they shouldn't be yellow yet, but they turn into a real small little yellow flower.
Okay.
And the poinsettias are euphorbia. Their true name is Euphorbia pulcherrima. And you can tell they're a euphorb by when you break one of the leaves, all this Elmer's glue comes out of it.
Oh, wow, gee.
The white sap comes out, yeah. And that's typical of euphorbia across the species. It's a common denominator in euphorbia. The crown of thorns is actually, which is a houseplant, is a euphorbia, and it's actually related to the poinsettia, too. So euphorbia is a great big genus of plants, just thousands of different species.
You'll be a while in that catalog, won't you?
Yeah, and of which the poinsettia is one very popular sector of that genus, rather.
Okay.
So anyway, we can talk about care for your poinsettias here.
Yes.
We have a break to come up.
Yeah, let's do the break here real quick,
okay.
And then we'll be back with more from the Green Country Gardener. This after a 2-minute timeout.
Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses is getting busy and getting ready for the holidays. You'll find new shipments of pansies and flowering kale. Get ready for the holidays with amaryllis bulbs and Christmas cactus that they have available. And check out their new shipments of trees and shrubs. Right now is a great time to sow fescue seed and apply pre-emergent for winter weeds. Come see what's new at Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on Nowata Road. Open Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5, noon to 5 Sunday.
During Happy Honda Days, discover the joys of the season with unforgettable trips in an Accord, Pilot, or HRV. For a limited time, well-qualified buyers can get 1.9% APR on the 2021 Honda Accord and 0% APR on the 2022 Pilot or HRV. Find your perfect Honda this season. Visit your local Honda dealer today or shop online.
For great deals, visit your Northeast Oklahoma Honda dealer today.
See dealer for financing details.
Join K1 AM 1400, FM 93.3 and 95.1, and K1 TV when we'll be broadcasting this evening from the Bartlesville Annual Christmas Parade beginning at 6:30. You'll want to bring the family and enjoy the floats, bands, and Santa at this year's Christmas Parade. Our broadcast is possible by Moxie on 2nd, Bartnett IP, Jim Sweezy Realty, Dungeons Family of Autos, and Regent Bank. Bring the family, bundle up, and join us at the Bartlesville Christmas Parade this year. Our broadcast is made possible by Waters Heat and Air, Medical Lodges of Dewey, Paul's Record Service, Pro Tent, LPL Painting and Company, State Farm Agent Danielle Weaver, Arvest Bank, and Luis Ortiz, Attorney at Law. That's this evening, beginning at 6:30, along with K1 AM 1400 and FM 93.3 and 95.1 and K1 TV.
All right. It's 8:47. Green Country Gardener show continues. And our phone line is open at 1-800-749-5936. How do we care for our poinsettia?
Well, to begin with, you want to look at a plant that has a lot of leaves on the bottom.
Okay.
And fairly symmetrical in shape. And the at this point in time, the scythia should be kind of greenish and really unopened.
Gotcha.
And as we progress next week, to be open a little bit more, the week after that, if they're open, so what, you know. But anyway, the scythia should be fairly closed early on, you know, right after Thanksgiving and so on. And they'll be prettier longer that way if they're not open yet. So they've been properly grown, and they're Boston has been delayed enough to where they'll be more effective in the
house.
Got
it, yeah.
So when the in-laws come in and your poinsett is dead, well, nobody has any more. So you want to take care of it.
Yeah.
So, okay, anyway, care for the plant. Keep it slightly moist, but be sure it is well-drained.
There you go.
A lot of poinsettias, when you give them as gifts or give them away, they're on in a foil-like mm-hmm. thing. You want to either cut the bottom of that off or just take the foil off altogether after the big show, and then put it in a saucer that's elevated above. I've said this many times. Mm-hmm. A saucer with some gravel in it, and not one that'll just fit the pop. Get a bigger one so it has more area for the water to drain and more humidity coming up off the gravel for it to grow too. So give it medium to high light, the south, say a south or a western window, mm-hmm. to do well. Avoid sudden temperature changes. Keep it away from heater vents and doorways. They don't like a sudden temperature change. The leaves will just drop off.
Mm.
Almost like ficus trees. You know, when you bring home the ficus tree, well, the first thing that happens, it loses half its leaves.
Yeah, people say, I think it's lost its will to live.
Kind of like cats, they don't adjust very well to a different environment.
But, oh, no.
Yeah, you got to bring a cat home. It hides for about a week. Then it comes out. Yeah. But anyway. So avoid sudden temperature changes. So if there is a vent nearby, mm-hmm. you might consider closing it off.
Yeah.
And hopefully there are other vents in the room to keep the room warm. And then that should help it so it's not subjected to 80 degrees and 68, 80 degrees.
Oh, yeah. They don't like that big. They like a little more consistency.
A little bit more consistent, right. Medium. So. With those three things, keep it slightly moist, let it dry out a little bit between waterings, give it medium to high light, and avoid sudden temperature changes. It should do very well in the house for quite some time.
Uh-huh.
So anyway, after blooming, if you want to care for the plant until next year, you need to do this. When the last color bract is gone in the winter and early spring, cut back to reduce watering to a minimum in the spring after bringing it. Say bringing it outside to the environment, you mm-hmm. want to cut it back a little bit. And after the danger of frost has passed, you want to put it outside in a sunny location. Now, with the way the wind is over here, these are in kind of a minimal pot, so you might want to put it in a bigger pot too.
Got it.
Because otherwise it'll wind up in the neighbor's yard. So you want to make sure, maybe a clay pot perhaps, you might
sure.
want to transplant it to maybe an azalea pot. Azalea pots are a little flatter than the standard pots, or more squatty pots, if you will. And it's just earned the name azalea pot over the years, so they're kind of not as tall a pot. And it tends to be more stable that way. So put it in maybe a larger container and so on. Mm-hmm. And water only as needed during the summertime. Prune it, say, in midsummer to encourage some branchiness and bushiness. And in the fall, repot and bring it inside before the danger of frost comes on.
Mm.
Now, they require a certain length of night for them to bloom real well. In other words, what occurs here naturally,
mm-hmm.
we'll go ahead and let them rebloom,
mm-hmm.
Next year.
Gotcha.
So you don't want to interrupt its sleep time at night.
Kind of like us.
Yeah, it'll get very crabby and it will not bloom.
No.
if you mess up its rhythms like that. So. They will only bloom if they experience a long night and a short daylight. So our natural sunlight, the way we have it now, it should go ahead and bloom.
Be perfect for it, yeah.
And you don't expect it to bloom like it does when you get them from, say, the florist or the nursery or something, because they're grown in absolute ideal conditions with the right amount of minerals in the water. If there's a slight surplus of, say, magnesium in the water, it'll cause leaf problems.
Mm-hmm.
We've had this problem in the past with stuff in the magnesium and whatnot in the water. It'll cause some mm-hmm. issues with it, and some other trace elements in there will cause some problems, and it requires some trace elements for the bloomer. So it's a bit of a science in growing these. It'll still bloom, it'll still be nice, but it won't be as heavy a bloom as you will get from say the nursery. But it's kind of rewarding to have one grow like that. It doesn't take a lot of attention, just water occasionally. And I'm not saying use distilled water, but, rainwater works real well.
When I worked on TV,
mm-hmm.
right around this time of year, they'd start putting the poinsettias up there on the around the news desk.
Oh, yes.
And we had one lady, that was her job. She only worked part-time. And she would come in on the holidays, and she would make sure everything, little peach stick and everything, water, everything, just making sure.
Well, sure.
Do a little trim in there, and that's all she did. And she loved it. And cool. Then after about 3 weeks, she said, I'll see you next year.
Does she hire out?
She's long gone now.
Oh, well.
But I just remember those things used to pop on the camera, and they just see them, you know, right up front, you know, they really look nice. I mean, that's if you take care of the plant.
They would show.
They would
literally pop. The color would really pop.
Oh, hey, look at that.
Yeah, they're very, very colorful. They're very photogenic, very colorful, too. So.
Mm-hmm. So
good plants to have.
Yep.
Poinsettias are traditional Christmas plants that will last through the Christmas season and beyond. It's important to select the best plant.
Yep.
So, like we said, check a plant with dark green foliage and bracts, you know, good amount of bracts on it. And do not purchase with a lot of green around the bract edges. They've been pulled from their circadian rhythm things, and they too early. So they're not, they won't. Anyway, make sure the leaves on down below, all the colors are still there. They need some green leaves down below, and they've been falling off, or the plant's been chilled, or it's been in the dark too long, or in the back of a semi truck, whatever, too long, and they might not do very well in the house. They'll just defoliate and kind of tinkle down before Christmas.
You don't want that.
It should look full, well balanced from all sides. It should be 2.5 times taller than the diameter of the pot, and choose plants that are not drooping or wilting. Steer clear of the ones that don't have, that are wilted like that.
Yeah, you don't want that.
No, they're not healthy, and they won't last for the time. So don't purchase plants that are displayed in paper or plastic sleeves.
What is that?
They need that aerobic
stuff,
and that sort of cuts it off. So if they've been displayed and crowded or real close together, if they're on a cart or something, chances are they've been on that cart for quite some time, and they've been under some kind of light stress, and they'll probably defoliate and don't do very well. And check and see the true flowers at this point in time, what we talked about earlier. Make sure that at this point in time they're not open yet. So then they'll do okay then. So anyway, we'll continue our discussion about poinsettias next week. So.
All righty. We're going to have to take a real quick break, and we'll be back after this two-minute timeout.
Shortly after Charles Lindbergh's transatlantic flight to Europe, the Dole Pineapple Company sponsored a race from San Francisco to Honolulu in 1927. Lindbergh refused to fly in it, noting he couldn't miss the continent of Europe, but he sure as heck could miss Hawaii. Frank Phillips saw the race as a great opportunity to advertise his new Phillips Aviation Fuel. Frank found his pilot, a Hollywood stunt pilot by the name of Arthur Goebbels, and named his plane the Woolerock in honor of the ranch. 8 planes took off from San Francisco on August 16, 1927, and only 2 planes finished the race. The flight took over 26 hours, and the winner was the Woolerock. Charles Lindbergh described it as the greatest event in air history. For the next year, that plane barnstormed the country, advertising Phillips fuel, and finally returned to Woolerock. Mr. Phillips instructed his staff to build a stone hangar for the airplane, which they did, and he stored the plane there. As he collected more and more art and artifacts, he stored a lot of it in that hangar until he finally had to enlarge it. Today, you know that airplane hangar is the first room of the museum as you walk out of the dome room. Next time you visit, remember what that room's initial purpose was back in 1928. That same airplane hangs proudly today in the museum at Woolerock, where magic still happens every day. Welcome home to Woolerock.
Ah, tis the season for unwrapping.
Oh, such pretty wrapping paper. I wouldn't want to rip it.
Anytime.
Don't rush me.
We unwrap the news, weather, and sports for you every weekday morning beginning at 6. And we give it to you a little quicker than, well, you know.
And I can put this bow on my kitty cat.
Let us unwrap your information.
Baby.
Weekday mornings at 6.
Oh, where is she?
Right here on K1, the one you trust.
Drinking a German beer with a Cuban cigar in the middle of Paris with a
Back to the Green Country Gardener program. We're talking about things that fly.
Yes, flying things, yes.
We got about a minute or so to go here in the program here.
Hey, come by and check out the nursery. We have a great selection of houseplants and tropicals.
But nothing that flies
at us. Philodendrons, nothing's flying at us. And, okay. Well, you'll see a few lizards and things.
Yeah.
We have some and people think they're kind of cute, especially when they're little red thing.
Oh yeah,
you know. And you might hear the frog down and croaking in there.
There you go.
But nothing.
They're just residents. They just have fun.
That's right.
They're doing good.
And we have this fish in the waterfall too.
Yeah.
So anyway, so we do have the little critters in And
your butterflies are gone for the season.
Yeah, they are. Unfortunately, they're gone. But we had a great year. God, the monarchs. We had a lot of them at the nursery.
Yeah.
They're attracted to those, to the lantanas and some of the other perennials we have that attract, butterflies and things.
Sure. Yeah.
So that was kind of cool. And golly, come check us out too. We do good quality sprinkler systems. I have sprinkler systems in this town that are 35, 40 years old and still running just fine. Mm-hmm. A good sprinkler system is engineered, not just installed. So keep that in mind too, that if you want it to last a while, make sure it's engineered.
You just don't want somebody to throw it in the ground. You want somebody to know what's going on.
Exactly. And we did one this week in an area with critical pressure issues, and it worked just fine.
Mm-hmm. So. Sweet.
Anyway, guys, so that's kind of it for this week. And come in and check out our poinsettias and our houseplants and trees and shrubs. And by all means, keep that shovel sharp. We will see you next week.
Residential and commercial plumbing, call Mason's Plumbing, where serving you is their priority.
KWON, Bartlesville. K227 CQ.